Today we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5 and reading through verse 9. So let's begin as we look today at some exhortations to Christians then and now. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 begins, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." In verse 5, he tells us more about the subject of submission. And we're talking here not so much about submission to God as submission to certain people on earth. This is one of the main themes in this book, and here we find a different aspect of that subject. In verse 5, he says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." In verses 1 through 4, he's been talking about elders in the church in the sense of the office of elders or bishops. But here, he's talking about older men in general and older people in general. So this only makes sense because the older have more experience. People who are more aged have more wisdom because of that experience, generally speaking. And we see this at work many times in the Bible. In Leviticus 19, verse 32, the Bible says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary, that is the white head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord." In Job chapter 32, verse 4, the Bible says that Elihu waited until the older men spoke before he said anything. He was eager to talk. He was anxious to give his own opinion, but he waited until the older men spoke first, and then he said what was on his mind. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible shows that Rehoboam, the king, would not listen to the advice of the old men, and instead, he took the advice of the young men, and that was a tragic mistake that led to the division of the entire nation. In Isaiah chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, the Bible shows us that when the young disrespect the old, the nation is in serious trouble. And thus, in the church, this respect is necessary to the peace and the harmony and the work of the church. And a companion verse to what we're looking at here is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, where the Bible says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." So he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another." When he says that all of you are to be subject to one another, he's talking about the areas of delegated authority that he's been discussing. In other words, what he's doing here is summarizing what he's taught throughout this whole book. He has said that we are to submit to the government, chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. He shows that slaves are to submit to their masters, chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. He shows that wives are to submit to their husbands, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. He implies that members of a congregation are to submit to the elders of that congregation, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And here he shows that younger ones are to submit to the older ones, chapter 5, verse 5. So he's not teaching what some people call mutual submission, where everybody is just as much in submission and in subjection to everybody else as anyone else might be. What he's saying is, in all these areas that he's mentioned, we are to be subject to those particular people. So this is a summation verse about that. The next exhortation, or the next lesson that he teaches, is humility. He says, be clothed with humility. Now, that connects directly to what he's just said. Because in order to submit to somebody else, we have to be humble. And it's interesting here that this expression, to be clothed with this humility, comes from a Greek word which means, and I'm reading from a Greek lexicon or dictionary here, which says that this word means to fasten or gird on oneself. This garment was the white scarf or apron of slaves, which was fastened to the girdle of the vest, and it distinguished slaves from free men. So when a person in the first century wore this white scarf or this white apron, you knew that that person was a slave. That garment was the mark of a slave, and a slave is humble. A slave obeys his master. A slave doesn't backtalk and argue. A slave doesn't neglect to do what the master says. A slave is very humble, and he says, yes, I will do what you've told me to do. And so in the same way, Christians are to have that kind of humility. Our clothing, our white scarf or our white apron, as it were, is humility itself. It's being humble in the sight of God. So Peter says to be clothed with this humility, be covered by it like an article of clothing. Because, he said, God resists the proud. God is not drawn to a proud person. He is drawn to and notices a humble man. A proud man is already resisting God. He resists God's help. He is resisting God's grace. He is resisting God's teaching. And God cannot do much with a man like this. But he does give grace. He does give assistance. He does give help and strength to the humble. So he says, humble yourselves. And this should be natural. It should be easy for us to humble ourselves when we think about who we are and what we are and who God is. And when we compare ourselves to God, it should come naturally for us to be humble. But many times we don't think about who we are and we don't think about who God is. The Bible says in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God will exalt us, but he will not exalt us necessarily when we think he should. This passage does not say that if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in the time that we think, but in due time. Now, this means that Christians have to wait. We have to wait until God says it's time. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 12, that he that exalts himself shall be abased or humbled, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So exalting yourself, demanding recognition, insisting on having your way, never works in the long run. It may work for a while, but it never works in the long run. The third exhortation that he gives is in verse 7, and this verse is about worry. It is about being anxious. He says, casting all your care, that is all your worry, or all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. So he talks, first of all, about the care, that is the worries of a Christian. And Christians do have those worries. The Bible says in Matthew 13, verse 22, that some leave the faith because of the care of this world. They get so wrapped up in and so worried about the things of this life that they forget about God and they forget about their soul and they take their eye off of eternity. That's sad, but it happens. Matthew 13, verse 22. Peter says, instead of letting those worries get you down, cast all your care upon him. The word cast here means to lay upon, to throw upon. The only other time that this word is used in the New Testament is in Luke 19, verse 35, where the Bible says that the people cast their garments upon the colt. So in the same way that they were casting their garments upon the colt, we are to cast our cares upon the Lord. We're to lay our worries upon God because he is able to bear them. We are not, but God is. So which cares are we to lay upon God? which worries are we to cast upon his shoulders? The Bible says, casting all your care upon him. Not just one worry, not just some anxiety, not a select few of our cares, but all. Now, he's not talking about your responsibilities to God here. He's talking about your worries. He's talking about things that you can't do anything about. Cast all of those fears and worries upon God. So this is a constant challenge, and it comes down to our faith in God. In Matthew 6, 25 through 31, Jesus talked about worry, and he tells us in that section not to worry. Because if God takes care of the birds, if he takes care of the grass of the field, he's certainly going to take care of us. And he ends that section saying, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And in Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul said, be careful, that is, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In all these verses, the Bible says, instead of worrying, we are to pray to God. Why? Because Peter says, he cares for you. That is so simple, and we simply need to ask the question to ourselves, do we believe it? Because God is concerned about Christians. He does care for his own children. He sees our troubles, he knows our needs, and he answers our prayers in his time and in his own way and not ours. The fourth exhortation is in verses 8 and 9, and this lesson is about the devil. It's interesting here that Peter is talking to these Christians and to Christians today about the danger of the devil and about resisting him. It's interesting because Jesus warned Peter years before about the devil himself. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, he's talking now to Peter directly. He said, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter didn't take seriously what Jesus said there because he said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. And of course, we know that he was not really ready at that time. Years later, Peter is warning his same readers about the devil and about the dangers that he poses to Christian people. So first of all, he says, to be sober. That word means to be calm and collected in spirit. It means to be temperate. It means to be dispassionate. It means to be circumspect. It means to be in control of your feelings. It means not to be easily excited or angry or afraid. It means to be clear in your thinking and not to be rash. He says to be vigilant. That means to watch, to give strict attention to be cautious, and to be active. It means to be alert and on guard. And it's interesting also that Jesus used this same word when he was talking to Peter and James and John years before in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, verse 41, when Jesus said, watch. That comes from the same word translated, be vigilant here. Jesus said to Peter, watch and pray, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he describes the devil as your adversary. That's the meaning of the word Satan in the Bible, by the way. He is the accuser. He is the adversary. He is like a roaring lion, not just a stalking lion, but a lion that roars. He is loud and he is fearless. Why does the Bible use this image here of a lion that roars? It's because the devil and the devil's people have little or no fear of men, of danger, or of God himself. He has no fear. He will not listen to you, and he has no mercy. He only wants to destroy you or devour you. So Peter says in verse 9 that other brethren in the world have resisted him, and you can do the same.